Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where Britt Nicole is opening up for us. Cut too deep and left you hurting. The sun is rising.
Future you had hoped for is now burning. And the dreams you held so tight have lost their meaning. And you don't know if you'll ever find the healing. You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. And the night can only last for so long. Whatever you're facing, if your heart is breaking, there's a promise for the ones who just hold on.
That's what we got to hold on to. You know, I told you at the very beginning this year that I want us to make sure that we bring hope along with the challenges that follow us into this new year. Yes, sir. The sun is rising. Okay. Something I want you to hear. I was speaking earlier in the week about collateral damage caused by the shutdown, the government shutdown, a shutdown that is totally unnecessary. It is by choice that our politicians, some of our politicians have gone the way of the government shutdown, causing so much unnecessary pain for so many Americans all across the country, many more than the 800,000 number that we often hear. Seeker.com is sharing with us more about the fallout, some of the ramifications of, well, the shutdown. Grasp what they're sharing with us on this too. Catch the, see if while she talks with us, see if you can follow along with her, but at the same time, be thinking about other collateral damage that may not be specifically mentioned in this clip. But listen to this now. This is serious. The collateral damage caused by the government shutdown.
This is in the middle of a government shutdown, and if it doesn't end soon, it'll be the longest in history. But to be clear, this is a partial shutdown, which means that 75% of the government was approved for funding in the new year, and the rest got caught up in the demands from President Donald Trump to build a wall on the southern border for over $5 billion. Since the shutdown began at the end of December 2018, it has affected thousands of scientists and made lasting impacts on the scientific community. Even for a partial shutdown, we're looking at 9 government departments affected, with nearly 400,000 federal employees furloughed, meaning they've been put on leave without pay. Only those deemed essential are left to be part of the skeleton workforce that operate the facilities, also without pay. And scientific communities are taking a toll. The agencies affected include NASA, NOAA, the National Science Foundation, and the National Park Service, just to name a few. These are some of the biggest funders of grants and projects across the country. Without government money coming to fund the research, thousands of scientists are now out of pay, out of work, and losing valuable information from their labs. And the impact is being felt outside government grounds as well. Even if you're not a federal employee, but your research is funded by one of the federal science powerhouses, your progress is still affected. And some experiments can't just be put on pause. Ongoing research, like the state of our ecosystem, is constantly collected and analyzed. Science Magazine reported about an entomologist at Michigan State University whose endangered bumblebees are just sitting in a fridge in his lab waiting to be shipped to the USDA laboratories, but they're closed. He explains that this delay could cost him a whole year of progress. At San Francisco State University, William Chadwick works as a research technician in cellular molecular biology, analyzing and manipulating yeast cells, specifically for their waste removal organelle called the vacuole. Humans have organelles in their cells called lysosomes that have the same function of the vacuole. So by looking at mutated yeast strands, Chadwick can find correlations back to humans, even sometimes helping progress research with disease.
Essentially what happens in the example that I always give called Batten disease, it's an infantile disease that usually kills the children. There are
This is William Chadwick. She was just speaking about. This is him speaking now.
Are too many lysosomes because they can't break things down. And so the body can't break down things it needs to. And we found a way to recover that gene that creates Batten disease. So it's called BTN1. And so if we can fix that disease that occurs in yeast, and so the idea is we can use that same gene to create a gene therapy for people suffering from Batten disease.
But his lab can't get their contacts from the National Science Foundation to help them proceed to the next steps. So they'll be pushed 6 months behind. What does a 6 month delay look like?
And if labs can't access research or access funding, then it just prevents or pushes back the development of a cure. And so if a child who would have had a cure in 6 months doesn't for another 5 years and passes between those two points, then that's just kind of the easiest way to think of how it affects people and funding and research and science and society in general.
And just because you're not a scientist or don't have a disease doesn't mean you're off the hook either. Researchers collect a lot of critical data that the average person doesn't even think about, and we use it to power our everyday lives. Like weather forecasts, for example. During the shutdown, national weather forecasts are going to be worse because there aren't enough people to maintain and repair malfunctioning programs. It may seem trivial, but winter is prime time for updates to hurricane models, and they use this time to train emergency managers for the next storm season. But that's at a halt. The government shutdown is also having a ripple effect on an international level. At the beginning of January, NASA completed a flyby to the most distant object we've ever visited in history. And yet, they couldn't share their accomplishment with their fellow peers. It's estimated that 1,000 federal employees couldn't attend the American Astronomical Society or American Meteorological Society conferences to share and exchange knowledge from the year. Some scientists say the U.S. absence is not only a missed chance to learn, but also a possible turning point for the U.S. to fall behind in scientific research. The list goes on and on about the countless impacts this partial government shutdown has caused. And every day it progresses, the impacts reach more and more people, and they get worse. With no end in sight, we can only hope that it'll be over quickly, and we can bounce back better than before. What do you think about all of this? Tell us down below.
What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that amazing? All of this trouble that is being caused by this, and I would hope that the President of the United States is aware of all these ramifications of this government shutdown that he's called for. I would hope that the Republicans who are supporting this government shutdown are aware of all the trouble that this is causing Americans. And can you imagine that with all the trouble that has already been stirred up, President Trump has made it clear that he's perfectly willing to let this government shutdown last for years. For years. He's already caused enormous problems just by having it shut down for the number of weeks he's had it shut down. He's making it clear he's perfectly willing to go the distance and keep it shut down for years. The person who should be doing the most to build America is helping to tear it apart. In fact, is leading the way in tearing it apart. What will be the effect on the economy if this goes on for 6 more weeks? Especially the economy, not just right now, but the effects on the economy 8 months from now, 2 years from now. What kind of mess is Donald Trump going to leave this nation in by the time he leaves office? And again now, he has made it clear he is perfectly willing to let this government shutdown, this partial government shutdown, go on for years, if that's what it takes to get his way. To focus on the border between Mexico and America, where it has been clearly indicated by the State Department and others that there's very little risk there, although potential for terrorists crossing over is there. The reality of it has not occurred yet. But the reality of terrorists having crossed over into America from Canada has happened. And this president, who is so focused on security, has never once mentioned, to my knowledge, the border between Canada and America. He's certainly not focusing on, he's not centering on, he's not emphasizing that border the way he is the border between Mexico and America. All of this pain, mounting pain, increasing pain, as he says, for security. When we have security falling down, potentially, when it comes to the air, because he is responsible, he and the others have, the Republicans have sent so many TSA employees home by telling them, hey, look, you're going to have to keep working, but without pay. And the State Department has made it clear the biggest problem with terrorists coming into the United States is by air. For everyone who genuinely cares about Americans and America overall, our security, our water, our land, our air, the quality of our air, the ability of small business owners to continue to thrive and to build their businesses, and on. For everyone who genuinely cares about Americans, who genuinely cares about America, this should not be a political issue. This should be strictly about, as I wear my American hat, I realize that what's being done to Americans is not right and it is not good. And since it has been proven, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying nothing needs to be done about the border between Mexico and America. Security is security. But when security is the real issue, why isn't our president focusing on it where it really matters the most, where the most damage can be done, based on partly where damage has already been done, terrorists coming in from Canada, terrorists coming in by air, but also what can be done in the future. When it comes to, for example, cybersecurity, we have had so many experts telling us one of the greatest areas for abuse will be in the area of cyber. That's where security is truly needed to be beefed up. And we don't hear our president, Donald Trump, saying anything about that. Is the issue, the real issue, that President Trump has some other reasons that he doesn't want people coming in from Mexico that really has nothing to do with security, but he doesn't want to say what it really has to do with? Of course, we know how he has described the people coming over. So maybe it has more to do with the color of their skin and possibly how they might vote if they ever become citizens of America than it has to do with any true security concerns. Since he's not focusing where the security issues, the security concerns are truly the greatest. All right. I had said that we were going to resume our discussion today also with regards to health care premiums, health insurance premiums. The debate has been, are they rising at a faster rate under Obamacare? People who do not want the Affordable Care Act are saying, yes, health insurance premiums are rising at a faster rate under Obamacare. People who are saying, no, the Affordable Care Act is not hurting America, are looking at other statistics and they're saying, no, insurance premiums are not rising at a faster rate under Obamacare. All right. Now, we started with a con the last time, where again, the cons are saying, nope, rates are not rising faster. So let's start with a pro this time, where they're saying, yes, rates are rising faster under Obamacare. Avik Roy, Dr. MD, Dr. Avik Roy, Forbes opinion editor and senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research, said this in 2014. There can be no doubt that health care today is more costly than it would have been without Obamacare. Measured over 2 years, Obama's rate hikes remain toxic. And further increases on the horizon in insurance companies set to expire. He says he and his colleagues at the Manhattan Institute looked at the actual finalized rate filings in 2014 and compared them to what was available in 2013. He claims the average U.S. county saw a rate increase of 49%. All right, here's a con. And again, saying no, they're not rising faster. This is PhD Dr. Christine Eibner, economist at the RAND Corporation, and Amado Cordova, who's a doctor, Amado Cordova, PhD, senior engineer at RAND Corporation, said this in 2013. Our estimates indicate that on average, out-of-pocket premium spending for non-group enrollees will fall due to new federal tax credits available after the Affordable Care Act takes full effect. In our main estimates, which assume that the individual and small group markets are split for the purposes of risk pooling, we find little to no change in small group premiums as a result of the law. For 9 out of 10 states considered, and for the United States overall, we find virtually no difference in age, actuarial value, and tobacco use, standardized small group premiums in scenarios with and without the Affordable Care Act. Of course, individual firms may experience an increase or decrease in premiums depending on the health status of their enrollees. However, overall, we find no evidence to suggest that small premiums will systematically change as a result of the law. All right, let's stay with the cons for a minute here. We'll come back with another con, then we'll go to another pro. And let's just be thinking about, you know, how all this is really playing out. I know that we've had people who have been able to say, find people who have said, my premiums have risen. I've heard quite a few people say their premiums have gone down. I've also heard people say that without the insurance, they would have been devastated. Without the Affordable Care Act, they would have been devastated because they would not have had any coverage for some conditions that needed to be dealt with. Back in a few.